Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
JB Weld, today's podcast brought to you by JB Weld, world's strongest bond. The brand DIYers and pros have trusted for over 50 years. You got to keep it in your cupboard, your toolbox, your garage. Available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, wherever you find finer products. Proudly made in the U.S. of A. Comedian Maz Gibrani is going to join us. Also, the news right after this.
I moved in late 78 from Iran to Northern California. It was a place called Marin County. Bunch of white dudes on skateboards. I had never seen a skateboard before. We didn't have skateboards in Iran. In 78, there was one guy had a skateboard in Iran. His name was Mansour. He had long curly hair, just as much curly hair coming off his chest. He was skating around Tehran trying to pick up women. Hi, I'm Mansour. I have a skateboard from the future. You want to go on a date? Okay, well, you have to walk because there's no room for you. I go to Northern California. All the white kids are doing tricks on their skateboards. They're doing jumps. They're talking skateboard talk. Yeah, bro. Woo, gnarly. Woo, shaka, radical. Woo. I don't know how to ride a skateboard. I was just carrying mine behind them, trying to blend in. Yeah, bro, America. Woo, radical. Woo.
Maz Gibrani on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you again, Maz.
That's the clip you pull.
I thought it was funny.
You know what? It's funny, Adam. First of all, I don't know, like when you watch yourself, the whole time I'm going like, oh my God, I never wear socks in my specials. That's all I was looking at the whole time because I got these suits. My wife has become like she is my stylist because she will watch a special and the comedian can be hilarious, but she'd be like, what is he wearing? Like she'll get into that.
Well, you're always dressed to the nines.
I try to, but I'm trying to impress my wife and not get criticized. That's what.
You know, it's interesting. Men are the ones who are aesthetically oriented when it comes to picking a spouse or a mate or whatever. Mm-hmm. We're all about the look, physicality. And then women are always like, well, the guy's bald and he's short and he's a little dumpy, but he's got a great personality and I'm willing to look the other way or whatever. But then they get heavily into the aesthetic of what that unaesthetically pleasing person is now wearing.
Yes.
So it's like, which is it? Like, are you into the aesthetic or aren't you into the aesthetic? And the answer is, we're not into the aesthetic. We're into change.
Yeah.
We want to tell you what to do.
I think it falls under the I can fix him umbrella.
Yes. Mm. Well, it's improving. They want to improve you, make you a better person, which is interesting because I've heard of some like Hollywood husbands who are controlling the other way. Like I've heard of people who are like, oh, so-and-so, he'll come and watch the wife and be like, you need to wear this, this, and this. And I'm like, that seems like, first of all, it seems weird and kind of like you've got a dungeon in your house.
Yeah.
And secondly, to me, like you just said, Adam, like I fell in love with my wife because the first thing I saw was her, I was attracted to her.
Right.
So there's many times where she'll be wearing something and be like, I don't know, I don't want to go out. I go, you look hot. Like, let's just go. Like, you know, you look great.
I wonder, and you guys can all weigh in, if you go out on a first date, and I think everyone wants to put their best foot forward, and they want to, you know, they want to look their best.
Sure.
But as a guy, should you dial it down a little? Because if the chick's interested, she'll go, I can make some changes here. I love architecture. Every house I've ever bought, I've walked in and I've went, I could fix that. Mm-hmm. And I could do this. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say anything yet, but I got some ideas. And I'm kind of intrigued by the potential of it. Mm. If it was a full turnkey, I wouldn't have done anything differently. I would still like it, but I wouldn't be as intrigued. Wouldn't be mine. I won't put my stink on it.
You need room for improvement.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not saying wear a potato sack, but I'm saying, you know, have a little room.
Yeah.
One thing off,
could breathe on you know, and
Show up with no socks, and then at least you'll be like, I can fix the socks.
I can fix that. Yeah, for the special. I'm trying to think of the no sock look. Fat guys don't try it.
No,
they
no.
don't try it. So it sort of says to the world, I'm fit.
Yeah. Fat guys go high socks.
They go high
sure.
socks.
Yeah, it's kind of a rock and roll look.
Yeah, it is. You know, I see it. It's funny because I'll see something like a lot of these award shows, you get these like new, like the younger, hipper dudes, whether it's the Grammys or the Oscars, whatever. And it's got that kind of like tight, the pants get tight by the on the calves.
The cigarette pants.
Yeah, so, and sometimes they're kind of a little higher and there's a lot of
sock.
A lot of ankle.
No sock. And I watch it. I go, God, that guy's wearing that right.
Yeah.
And then I try it. And again, I kind of get in my head. I'm like the whole time, I'm like, should I have worn socks? You know how it is. When you do a stand-up, you're delivering the joke, but your mind's somewhere else. You're like, maybe I should have. I could have just worn those shoe socks, the ones that just a little bit. I don't know. These people are laughing at your jokes. You're worried about your socks.
How did you end up? Would you end up in Northern California? Where'd you say it was?
We ended up in Tiburon, Marin County.
Tiburon, across the bridge.
Dude, across the bridge.
Pretty fancy.
Fancy schmancy. Yeah. I'm telling you. One thing I'll tell you about Marin County. I remember because we got there late 70. No, I guess by 79 we ended up there. And I was there until after college. And I remember in 1985. The Kansas City Royals played against the St. Louis Cardinals, the World Series. 85 World Series. And Al Michaels was the announcer, and there was a player named Buddy Biancalana.
That's right. Oh, we love Buddy.
He was, I think, second base or shortstop for the Kansas City Royals, and he'd gone to my high school, Redwood High School. And so I just remember hearing Al Michael goes, Buddy Biancalana from Marin County, California, home of the hot tub. And I go, what?
What?
I didn't get it. I was like, what does that mean? I was like, all right, home of the hot tub.
Did you ever figure it out?
I don't know. Home of the mountain bike.
Did the jacuzzi family come
from
Tiburon?
That's funny you mention that because jacuzzi, the family, had a winery in Sonoma County.
There we go.
So I wonder if it's just a little migration, east.
I've been waiting for this answer for 40 years.
I've been
welcome.
To that winery.
We're glad you're here.
You know my show, What Black People Think White People Talk About All Day? This would be a perfect conversation.
This is a great promo piece. Great.
Chris, look that up. Jacuzzi Winery.
Jimmy Kimmel and I had the most romantic day ever in Tiburon.
It's hard
and beyond.
Not to.
I mean, we went to San Francisco for, I always tell you, like the second X Games or whatever, and we were going to like host or something, but we had the whole day off on Sunday. He'd never been. We rented a convertible Mustang. We drove over the
bridge.
Nice. Did you have a kerchief over your hair?
It was tied around my neck.
Sure.
We went over, you go right over the bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge. You can turn left and there's an old war battery there, whatever, like old cannons and bunkers and stuff. And it just looks at the opening of the bay.
It's called the Marin Headlands.
The wind is always blowing and it's just glorious. And if you drive further in, it's just beautiful. It's like, it's highway where you would film a car commercial.
Right.
Yes.
That's the highway there. And I also think, I don't know this, but it seemed like in Basic Instinct, that's where Sharon Stone lives, somewhere on the other side.
I think you're right. So that's if you kept going on the 101 North, you're going to pass Sausalito. But if you went left, like you said, Marin Headlands, another movie, Foul Play with Goldie Hawn, and I think it was with
Chevy Chase. I think
there's a yellow Volkswagen Bug that's winding its way through the Marin Headlands to what would end up. Then you go down to Stinson Beach, but that's a beautiful. I mean, I grew up in an idyllic.
You really did. I'm from the Bay Area, San Mateo County, and every county in California has nice parts and not so nice parts of varying degrees, except for Marin County. It's all nice. It's all gorgeous.
Marin is gorgeous.
There's no bad parts.
I think it may be some of the most expensive real estate in the United States.
It sure is. I went from Tehran to Tiburon.
You really did.
From the home of the Mercedes to home of the Mercedes.
Oh, shit.
How'd your dad pull that one off?
You know, it's interesting, Adam. So my family left Iran late 78. There was protests in the streets of Iran. My father was on business in New York. He tells my mom, hey, why don't you bring me and my older sister for 2 weeks during the winter break and let the protests die down. We'll go back. Well, of course, the protests got worse and worse. And I would say we packed for 2 weeks. We stayed for 40 years.
Wow.
And like most immigrant families, we ended up coming to Marin because we had some friends who were there and said, why don't you come visit us? So we visited. We're like, this looks nice. So we set up shop over there. And growing up for me, because later on when we moved down to L.A., L.A. has the highest population of Iranians outside of Iran. So if you run into an Iranian...
Westwood.
Yeah, Westwood.
Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills. If you run into an Iranian in L.A., it's like, are you Iranian? And they're like, yeah, everyone is.
Right.
But in Marin, there was like five Iranian families, and the rest were all just like white families. And so then the hostage crisis happened. And my dad had come with a lot of money. So my dad at that time, my dad was like, I call him the Vito Corleone of Iranians. Like he was a guy you'd go to if you needed some favors. Yeah, he would take care of stuff. But he would also buy, if you didn't have money, you're running out of money, he'd buy things. So he'd show up one time. I swear to God, he showed up with like 20 phones. Like the phones that you put on, like in your kitchen.
Yeah, hang on the
and
wall.
My mom's like, what's this? He's like, oh, Masoud ran out of money, so I bought his phones. She's like, what do we need all the phones? Just hold on. You never know.
So buying from them to give them cash.
Give them cash. Oh. So he came home one time with a Rolls Royce. He bought a Rolls Royce off one of his friends who needed the cash during the hostage crisis. And he would drive us to school. I go, Dad, you don't understand. They're already calling me a Saudi sheikh. Right. Now during the hostage crisis, you want to show up with a Rolls. I swear to God, I used to duck in the back. I'd be like, can you drop me off down the don't worry, it's fine.
You used to draw the curtains in the back seat.
This is very Tony Soprano.
My dad was Tony Soprano. I swear to God, he had wads of hundreds all the time. My friends to this day, I run into my friends, they go, did your dad used to give us hundreds? I go, yeah. He used to whip out, I swear to God, that was my dad. And totally clueless to like, I'm going to school. Back then, they would call us effing Iranian and like they would beat you up because of the hostage crisis. And to this day, I swear to God, if you guys want to watch an entertaining 30 minutes or 20 minutes on YouTube, put in Ted Koppel, Iran hostage crisis. Nightline was created because of the Iran hostage crisis. Before that, it was called Iran crisis, America held hostage.
Oh my God.
Every night it would be on TV.
Day number.
Yes. Adam knows.
I remember
so
that.
Day 142, they decided to call it Nightline, and every episode it would start with day 143. Wow. America still held hostage. And then, you know, back then that would get like 30 million views a night, and then I got to go to school.
Oh my God.
And people have been watching this, and they're like, you took us hostage. I didn't do anything. Your dad's got a Rolls Royce. Oh, yeah, right.
That's
about
true.
That. I left, motherfucker.
I left, motherfucker. I sort of get that's the problem with sometimes when America, like this whole Asian hate thing, like people beating up Asians in America because of the coronavirus. I'm like, this poor guy had nothing to do with it. And back then, that was us. That was like, they thought we're taking people. I actually ran into a friend of mine who was in the same school. I go, did you get called fucking Iranian and get beaten up? He goes, they used to play hostage with me. I go, what does that mean? He goes, they would take me hostage. There were like three Iranian kids, and they would take one of them, quote unquote, hostage during recess.
Did you ever think about going by Matt?
You better believe it. No, you know what? It's funny. It was too late already. They knew I was the Iranian kid. So what I did was I've thought about this stuff a lot. I wrote a book, you think about it and talking to people, I think about it. I used to come to school. I had a few things going for me. One was I had a sweet tooth. And again, my mom would go grocery shopping. And back then, it wasn't like, oh, get your kid healthy food. Get your kid whatever he wants. So I go shopping with my mom. She get a cart for just the family, and then I get a cart of Twinkies, Ho-Hos, Starburst, Twix, you name it.
Payola.
Dude, I would take that stuff to school. So first of all, I would bribe friendships. I learned how to bribe my way.
Smart.
So I had candy for people. Secondly, I was a good athlete. And thirdly, I think I just – sense of humor.
Right.
Those three things
the Holy
got
Trinity.
Me. So my friends were good with me. It was the older kids. Like, and again, I ran into another kid who goes, yeah, they used to bully me and they stole my bike. I go, dude, they stole my pedals. I had a Racing Incorporated bike. Like, I was a spoiled kid. So, like, my parents bought me, like, $300-$400 bike back then, which was expensive. So it had these nice pedals. And I come out one day. I'm like, where's my pedals? I go, how am I supposed to go? I remember walking. There was one black kid in our school who was in the fifth grade. He was 1 year older than me, and I think the sixth grader stole the pedals. And this black kid's walking with me, and he's like, don't worry about it, man. It'll be fine. And in my act, I talk about it. I go, he basically talked me down. He's like, I've been dealing with this shit for 200 years. You'll be fine.
There's the only black kid in Tiburon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there was like three black kids.
Or did they
four.
Boat them in?
Boat them in. From, yacht. They would yacht them
they
in.
Yacht them in.
Adam, how dare you?
We have the hot tub info.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Says Chris.
So there's a few things. First off, Jacuzzi Winery in Sonoma. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Been exists. There. Jacuzzi is out of Walnut Creek.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Of course yeah. it is. That's across the bay.
But Marin County has supposedly the highest concentration of home spas. So that's why they call it the hot tub. And then also George Bush Sr. called John Walker Lind, the American Taliban fighter out there, a misguided Marin County hot tubber.
He went to my school. He went to my school too.
Oh, you got a lot of range.
Robin Williams and that guy and the coach of the Seahawks, whatever his name is,
Pete Carroll.
His name
right now.
Pete Carroll.
That's yeah. everybody.
Pete Carroll. All those guys went to.
Wow.
By the way, now that I think about it, I wonder if Al. No, I was in Tiburon.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if Al Michaels like ended up in the '70s at some sort of like hot tub party. You know what I'm saying? In his mind, like, it slipped out. He's like, home with a hot tub. And he's like, oh, no,
wait
I just
gave no one knows that.
Home with the orgy. Oops.
What did your dad say he did?
My dad.
Waste management.
Waste management. Exactly. Olive oil. No, my dad was. So he made his money in, he owned an electric company in Iran. So he told me the story one time. He goes, what happened was he came to Tehran at some point. He was the oldest son of the family. So being the oldest son, patriarchal, you know, he had to take care of everybody else. Comes to Iran, gets a job in this electric company, works his way up, buys the company. And he said basically like I think in the 50s or early 60s, the Shah, who was the king of Iran basically, they decided to nationalize electricity. And my dad said, I thought I was done, that the government was just going to take my company. He goes, the opposite happened. They called me up and some minister invited him, goes, we're going to give you a lot
the
of contracts.
Contract. Yeah.
So basically like the you know, the lights you might see from here to Mammoth, LA to Mammoth, like my dad's company had done all that stuff. So my dad made a lot of money with that, but he was also, like I said, he was a very generous guy. So he had a lot of friends in, you know, high places. And so he came to America. He was actually doing, he was building an electrical plant in another city in Iran with a company called United Technologies. They were like a Bechtel, like a Halliburton, these types of, you know, multinational companies. And then the revolution happened, and then they didn't pay him. So he ended up losing, because what happened was obviously there was an embargo on business between Iran and America, and so he ended up losing a lot of money. So he comes to America, buys property, and then ends up like bleeding all of his money. And in those 10 years that he was here, he basically like lost all of his money.
Is there, I don't know what you guys think about this. We don't, like, Americans, we're not good at bartering. I'm loosely basing it on a few guys I know who are of another culture, which is, I'm just like, suck it, take it, eat it. You know,
yeah.
The guys I talk to, Mark Garagos is one of these guys.
Yeah.
Like, you'll go, I can't get my car to smet. They can't pass smog because I don't have a. Yeah. Let me talk.
Yeah.
I know a guy.
Yeah, I got a guy.
We can handle this.
Yeah, I got a guy.
We'll take care of this.
Yeah.
And I go, who do you know? Like, how does this work? It's like, we can get it done. And there's a lot of get it done.
Yeah, I got a guy.
My family doesn't have any of that. It's the whitey. Well, some white guy's got a ton of it, maybe Wolf of Wall Street, but the basic populace doesn't know how to barter or deal or know a guy or anything. And I feel like folks who come here from other cultures who have just enough of that get it done, and I know a guy who don't run afoul of the law, but just enough, I'm going to make a deal. I know a guy.
Yeah.
They do pretty well in this society.
Is that a rich man, poor man, like you're Garagos, or you're like the guy who's like, hey, I can't afford to pay my fence.
But or you're Aladdin.
Yeah, here's something from my work. Or
right.
Well, it's a cultural thing. Never pay full price. And I grew up in America, so I was Americanized. And I remember I studied abroad in Italy my junior year in college. And my aunt, who is – well off, she's doing fine. She had come to Italy to visit me, and she goes, let's go look at some clothes. And we're like in Rome or something. We're looking at like you know, couture, like really nice dresses. And we'd walk into the store, and she'd be like, how much? And the guy would say, whatever, $1,000 for the dress. She's like, okay, fine, I pay you $500. And the guy's like, no, ma'am, it's $1,000. She goes, no, just give me the. And she would push this guy so much. I swear to God, at some point, she would start ignoring the guy. The guy would be like, ma'am, and they would have signs. Price fixed. She goes, ma'am, price fixed. She goes, yeah, okay, fine, $700. And she would walk out.
With the dress.
Not with the dress. Okay. She'd walk out saying, I'll come back, have it ready, $700. I'm not kidding. We would come back, the guy would have it wrapped up, he'd be like, and the guy would be upset, but he'd be like, okay, fine, just go. And I was like, what the hell? just happened. And just like you said, I actually talk about it in my stand-up. I go, in America, you learn to go – you're taught to go to Starbucks and be like, $7 for a coffee? That sounds about right. This company deserves it. You know, you go, here you go. There's no negotiation.
No. There was a lot of this. I worked on Rodeo and a lot of various cultures coming in and wanting to bargain with me and me going, I just work here. But that doesn't make any sense.
No.
Like everything's negotiable.
Well, what they say to you then is they go, well, then just give me your friends and family.
Give me your employee discount was another big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. It's in the blood and it's like you bet. That's why I swear when you, if anybody ever travels outside of the U.S. and you go to the Middle East or you go to Mexico, anywhere, if you go into like a kind of a bazaar type place, please, Americans, just
respectfully,
they expect it.
Yes.
Then you do the math. By the way, you do the math in your head. Sometimes you're like, wait a minute, the dollar, the peso. Wait a minute, I'm negotiating over 33 cents. You're like, oh God, just take it. You know,
we were told when we went to Israel in the shuk and like the bazaar that you're an asshole if you don't play the game a little bit. It's friendly.
Is your dad still with us?
No, he passed away in 2009. He basically went to Iran for the rest, after 10 years or so, he lost his money here. Went to Iran, tried to do business with whatever property he had left there. And you think bureaucracy is bad here? It's even worse there. But he knew the system. You know, I have a soft place in my heart for any immigrant because I always say like immigrants, asylum seekers, they're not leaving a great situation. They're not sitting there going like, oh my God, I got this Fortune 500 company, all my friends and family here. I speak the language. Let me go somewhere where I'm not welcome.
Start over.
Usually they're running. And like you look at what's going on in Ukraine. You look at what happened in Syria. So for us too, we left. And as kids, you know, I was 6 years old. We're resilient. We're able to like find a friend and we're playing and we're great. But our parents, even back then, like 10 years later, my dad knew the system in Iran. So when he goes back 10 years later, granted, it's an oppressive government. It's a different government. But he's like, I got my oldest friends here. We know how to, for example, alcohol is illegal in Iran. He knew how to get alcohol. You know, there was a whole Armenian black market. Matter of fact, I went to visit him once.
Yeah, there's Gergos.
I'm telling you, we went
the
Armos
there. Armos are the leader of this pack.
Oh, dude, they're good at it. And so in Iran, you either had to make your own alcohol, which was like...
Let me tell you the problem with the Armos.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I employ a few.
Yeah.
And you always have the thought where you go, they go, I know a guy. I can fix this.
Yeah.
I can do this. Well, that's the guy I want. He wants $5,000. Get it for $3,200. Believe me, I know what I'm doing. I'll take this guy down. I'll take him to the cleaners. I go, okay, good, good, good. And then I go, so glad he's on my side. And then I go, wait a minute.
he's asking me
for money, too. Can he shut this off like a light switch and just go the direction I want it to go? Or is this a two-way street?
It's a win-win-win.
Aha!
Yeah. Always be closing on both sides.
Alcohol. Sorry. Go ahead.
But yeah, so the alcohol there was either they made it at home, which is like moonshine, which was disgusting. Or it was this thing where you had the Armenian black market. And the guy, I remember one time the guy showed up. And the guy had like a garbage bag with stuff in it. And I remember my dad opens the door and I'm standing behind my dad watching this. And the guy was so nervous, he's like looking over his shoulders, like we're doing a drug deal. And I'm like, oh my God, what's my dad getting? And the guy's like, hello, Mr. Jobrani. He knows my dad because my dad always orders with the guy. He's like, today I've got, and he reaches in, he's like, Heineken. I'm like, what? Like that's, you know, and then he's like, I got Jack Daniels. I'm like, you can get that anywhere in America. And they know, the government knows people are getting it. And so, but they just, you know, turn a blind eye to it. So my father was able to just live in that system till the end of his life. And then he came to America for medical stuff and he passed away here.
Do many drink in that environment?
Yeah.
Does it work? I mean, you know, we have our own form of this and have had our own form, prohibition and now drugs and stuff. And it always feels like the people that want it get it.
No.
I don't know anyone who smoked weed who didn't smoke weed before it was decriminalized or legalized. But
Absolutely. Does
it cut down on the general populace?
No. When you make it illegal, they just find another way to get it. Matter of fact, I think Iran has a big opium addiction problem because we're right next to Afghanistan, right? And so a lot of the young people, because the economy right now, it's been suffering and is suffering even more with the sanctions and all that stuff. So, you know, once the sanctions got even heightened when we pulled out of the Iran deal, I would get messages from people on my Instagram going, "Hey, I'm this graphic designer. There's no work. Can you hire me for something?" So a lot of young people end up with less and less opportunity, and I think that there's a big addiction problem going on there. And as you said, when you make it illegal, people who want it find ways of getting it. None of that stuff ever works. And the government, by the way, is quite often involved. Like, I was in Kuwait, and Kuwait's another country where alcohol is illegal. But when you talk to the guys who have ways of getting it, they go, "Oh, there's a guy in the royal family who's taking a kickback on this."
Right.
So these guys are, you know, they know what's going on.
Says 2.8 of Iranians over the age of 15 are opioid addicts.
Well, there you have it.
So
yeah.
Says Chris.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that happy note, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with Gina's fresh new C-Cup news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Big news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
It's great to be back doing this. Let's talk about Elon. He continues to grab the headline to you once referred to him as P.T. Barnum. Mm. And I think that that might not be too far off because, you know, after buying Twitter, he has a new announcement. TMZ reports that he thinks the Russian government is out to get him and kill him. Mm. And he's exposing the threat that supports his theory. He just tweeted, "If I die under mysterious circumstances, it's been nice knowing ya."
Yeah.
That was the whole tweet. Well, as for what prompted the tweet, a guy named Dmitry Rogozin, he's the chief of Russia's space agency, sent a statement to Russian media accusing Elon, which I think he did, of assisting Ukraine with military communications equipment. You know how he was sending the satellites over? Mm. And they are pissed. So he says, you know, if I am to die and maybe get poison my soup, you'll know who did it. Mm. Meanwhile, Musk has announced that he would reverse Twitter's ban on former U.S. President Donald Trump.
Yes.
While speaking at the financial future of the CAR conference. Mm. He says the decision to ban Trump from social media was morally wrong and flat out stupid.
Mm. Is he going back? Would Trump go back? Because he's trying to launch his own thing.
In a second.
He would have millions and millions and millions of followers
I've heard speculation that he would hold off or he would try to build his platform before he gave it to, a competitor.
It's launched, right? Freedom, whatever it's called. Social?
Truth Social.
How's it doing? How many followers?
It's not doing well. But I think, Adam, you might be right. It's kind of like, I don't know if you guys ever encountered this, but like when Instagram was trying to get people to watch videos on Instagram, mm-hmm. if you put a link and said, "Check out the rest on YouTube," they would suppress that post. But I imagine, like you said, Trump will be like, "I want to, you know, I'm going to run in for the rest of this. Go to Truth Social."
Yes, you know? Totally.
That could definitely be true.
Totally. Well, other people have thoughts on what's to happen to Twitter. Ex-porn star.
I don't think the folks that hate Trump, I don't know if they did themselves a favor by getting him thrown off of Twitter.
I'm going to say I hate Trump, and I'm going to say that we did, and I'll tell you why. I don't know about the political repercussions, but I can tell you my anxiety level of not having to read something. I mean, because now if you really want to read it, you got to find his statement. He puts out, like, you know, now he's writing, you know, "Dear America."
But I feel like, A, there's a slight martyr thing that you give him some status as a martyr, but also, you know, he's the kind of guy who you just give him the shovel and he digs his own grave.
Yeah.
And he gave plenty of fodder to his detractors the whole time. Him being silent, essentially, or at least not on Twitter, and like, "Well, we'll focus on Joe Biden," I don't think that's helped the cause. I feel like I should have let him talk.
Let me put it this way. It's like, I feel like he was an abusive father or what, just like one of these guys who's drunk and throwing stuff all the time. And you're kind of like, again, I'm telling you, the anxiety level of waking up and going like, what did he say today? Uh-huh. And it was, now we've sent him to, you know.
Timeout?
Not timeout.
They granted your restraining order.
Yeah, the restraining. And now he's in Hemet, California. He's just like, he's somewhere on the lake. He's at Arrowhead. I don't know where he is.
And he's with Shelly Miscavige.
And I hear once a week, I hear, oh, he's throwing stuff. I go, okay, I can handle
it. Once a week.
Once a week, I can handle. Maybe if they let him on with a limit, you get a tweet a week.
Interesting.
I can handle that.
You also had a little bit of a Freudian slip there, which is funny. You said Trump's been silenced. True Social is up. He has his own platform, and yet we consider it, you know, this is an indicator.
Well, no, I said not silence, but silence from Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, he's given rallies and he's given interviews, and I don't mean he's been silent.
Yeah. No, I understand. He's still free to speak, of course.
By the way, not to change the subject, but Elon Musk saying, if I get killed, just know that I think he's setting it up so if he gets in an accident in one of his Tesla self-driving cars, he can blame the Russians.
Very
That's
cunning.
What I'm thinking. Yes.
I like that.
Or one of the rockets blows up that he's
That's
in.
Right.
It was a Russian.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Lisa Ann. She's an ex-porn star. She's demanding that Elon Musk ban X-rated content when he takes over Twitter. She's 49 years old. You may not know her name. You probably know her work. She was
There's X-rated content on Twitter?
That was my question.
That's very...
There
okay.
is?
Okay, we'll play along. Yes, there is.
I don't
is.
Know. I've never
no,
seen
there
it.
Is. There
are
is.
You say, like when you say X-rated, is it just like boobs are out or there's sex?
Oh, like hardcore like GIFs and videos.
I didn't know you're allowed to
you
do
are,
that.
You are. You're not allowed to put it in the header image or in your profile photo.
Header.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But it is on there. She played Sarah Palin in many movies,
yes.
You know, the
nice.
Drill Baby Drill.
So you can just put hardcore porn on Twitter.
Yeah.
I feel like it's reported and taken down, but I come across it once
when
in a while.
When you're saying not in the header, or you mean, or get so
the picture at the top, you can't, and the profile picture.
So, but then, if I wanted to tweet tomorrow some porno, I just put it up.
I think you can. Let me put it this way. I don't know about you guys, but a lot of shady characters follow me on Twitter and I'll click on their image and, well, I mean, after today, RIP, but it's usually like big boobs and loving it, you know, whatever. Yeah. And then those are the gifts.
So naive.
Yeah. That you get in your Twitter feed.
Yeah. But, so like you can post, for instance, Instagram, Facebook, you can't post any X-rated content, but Twitter, for some reason, you can.
Yeah.
As long as your account is over, you're over 18 on your account, you can watch it.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because that's her exact problem with this. So this is what Lisa Ann, who's now 49, has to say. And I'll tell you what she says to people who think that she's being hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter is the largest distributor of illegal content to minors in the world. Something I really hope Elon Musk takes a step ahead and says, we're not doing this anymore. And if we are, you will have to enter in your birthday. There will have to be an ID situation. There will be levels to this shit. That's how I'm hoping.
She's in a high rise.
Yeah, she is. It's a really nice office.
I had no idea.
Yeah. And people who say, you know, well, you're a hypocrite, you were a porn star, whatever. She says, first of all, I'm allowed to evolve, which is true. And second of all, she says it's not.
I disagree.
Okay.
All the drug counselors are ex-junkies.
That's true.
That's all the people we listen to.
That's exactly right.
The guy who did time and now he's going to go talk to troubled youth.
Candy Finnegan on Intervention's the best.
Yeah, who knows more than these people.
Scared abstinent.
That's right.
That's right. So, and then she says, it's not so much that as it's going to, there's no age barrier. You have to, quote, be 18, which really doesn't mean anything.
Click here.
You can be a porn star and not want kids to see it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Here's from what I know. I think when you upload a video on Twitter, there's like a minute and a half. I think there's a time limit. Yeah. So, who's watching porn a minute and a half at a time? Like, you got to really, if you're a guy,
there's some two pump chumps out there.
That's
some quick draw McGraws.
That's really fast.
Yeah, I guess maybe
some two stroke jokes.
But they do. I guess it is the largest. So, you know, I feel like I'm a car guy.
Yeah.
And then I feel like somebody brought up, well, you've heard of Ferrari, right? And I went, huh? Oh, it's huge. It's huge. The F1 team.
It's a F-E-R what?
Nope. I've never heard of that. I feel that way about porn, and the biggest porn distribution site is Twitter.
It's kind of like the dark web version of Twitter. I think like general folk don't know, but yeah, there's a ton of porn.
So this is what's amazing about Twitter. It can overthrow the Egyptian government. It can have you can have a revolution via Twitter, and then you can have, you know, minute and a half porn.
That's exactly right.
What a great.
What a time to be alive.
Well, you know what it is? I think when I hear people talk about Twitter, you hear these politicians and stuff, and they go, well, obviously there's got to be some rules, some guardrails. Like, you can't have death threats. You can't have pornography. You can't have whatever. They always do that. I'm like, okay, so I assume death threats and pornography are taken down.
But somebody in there Google me, right? Let's see some Twitter porn.
I believe it. Chris says yes.
It's put up a lot of material.
Actually, they allow death threats now, too. It's great.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they're moving. Oh. They're really opening up. In the porn. As long as it's part of the porn.
It's part of the storyline.
If you watch this, I will kill you. Action.
Well, that sounds like something Mike Tyson said to that dude on the plane, and we have an update on that. He will not be criminally charged for the bloody airplane beatdown he put on that really obnoxious dude last month. The San Mateo County, by the way, district attorney, said due to the conduct of the victim leading up to the incident, the interaction between Mr. Tyson and the victim, as well as the requests of both the victim and Mr. Tyson, no charges will be filed. So I think they both wanted this to go away.
Here's a thought experiment. Now, everyone knows I love the movie Con Air.
Right.
At the very beginning, they're charging
Nick Cage
because they're going, the judge is like, with your skills and your training, you're now getting murder because you're essentially a weapon.
A lethal weapon.
Yourself. So we go, all right, I get it. I get that thing where a guy's a black belt or an MMA fighter or something. He has skills, and now it goes a little beyond. He says his fists are a weapon.
Yeah. Right.
So maybe there's more to charge him with. But I think it's a two-way street, because I think this DA is going, you fuck with Mike Tyson, you fucking get what you get, douche.
Yeah.
Like, he's
Party
factoring
is clearly.
It in. If that was, let's just say,
Mazdarani.
Screech, or not Screech? He's
died.
Passed away.
Urkel. If that was Urkel, they might charge Jaleel White with a crime.
Yes,
indeed.
But this is you were pestering Mike Tyson, and that is a bad move, and that's on you.
Yeah,
this
guy had the bear.
This guy had a gold medal in stupidity.
Yes.
Like, whereas Mike Tyson has the championship belt of boxing, this guy had the championship belt of stupidity.
Dumb, right.
How stupid do you have to be? If you might be a fan, you might be drunk. Was there nobody around this guy? Who was
there was, and he was filming and laughing.
Yeah, fully filmed.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Oh, here. We have it for you to remind you what happened.
What an idiot.
Leaning over the top.
Talking to Mike Tyson, bro.
That's a jabroni.
This shit crazy, bro. Mike Tyson. My dog done got lit, man. He over here rapping with Tyson. Mike Tyson trying to give us some shrooms. You don't know how to act. Tyson looking out, man. This shit crazy as
f. He should have never gave you his money.
As I reported, I guess a week and a half ago, that dude has a record. Yeah. I'm not sure if you're shocked by that.
Yeah,
but that dude has a record.
Record's 0-1 with Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, is that bottom? Like, does he end up in rehab at that point?
I think it's a slippery slope. Like, I think he's like Larry Holmes is going to be on a flight from Houston to LAX. Let's get up in first class with him.
Yeah.
See if we can agitate him.
Oh, God.
Conor McGregor's coming in from Europe. Like, I think he makes a whole
career now.
Well, you know, the groupie chicks who fuck every lead singer?
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, let's put it this way. I don't condone this.
Yes.
But if I was at a party and I sat next to a guy, and I go, and he said to me, like, what's your thing? And I'm like, I like Paul Newman race cars. And I'd go, what's your thing? He goes, I get punched by ex-heavyweight champions.
I aggravate heavyweight champions to the point that they pummel me.
And then he like pulled out his resume.
Yeah.
And it's like, yep.
Gather Tyson, around.
Yep. Larry Holmes, Buster Douglas punch me in a, on a bus once. Like, and I'd go, look, so what's your rap? And he'd go, look, well, I find out where they are, like where they're going to be, where they're going, whatever. And then I antagonize the fuck out of them. And I know it's not going to take too much before these guys lay hands on me. And then I have my friend Phil. If that guy had an impressive resume, maybe they go back to like Rocky Graziano or
Jake LaMotta.
Yes, Mitch Blood Green. Yes, they just go through this. There's
and you're like, what's next? He's like, Klitschko. Like, you're the Ukrainian mayor?
I'm going to Ukraine. You're thinking,
because that's the Holy Grail.
Right.
Adam, you're thinking like an agent. I like that. You're thinking like, listen, you can be a social media influencer with these videos.
Well, all I'm saying is if I'm sitting next to him at a party, and then at some point after he tells me about, you know, getting punched or getting choked by Conor McGregor or having Daniel Cormier, UFC heavyweight, you know, throw an elbow at him or something. If he stopped and went, oh, let me hear more about your cars, your Paul Newman race cars. I'd go, that can wait. Let's get back to your list.
Tell me about that confrontation with Chuck Norris. What was that like?
And who's on your wish list? Yeah, it'd have
Lennox
to be the
Lewis is the one that got away. He tried the entire flight to London to fuck with them. And
Ronda Rousey, need me in the balls. Yeah. Like, I would be so into that transfixed conversation.
Evander Holyfield bit my ear off.
That's right.
What?
I would be interested.
Yeah, no, you're true. Right. You're
so
right.
Maybe he has something.
Shouldn't all heavyweight champions have to have their fists registered?
I don't even know if that is a thing.
Yeah.
I think it's not a real thing.
Oh, this will break my heart. There's nothing hotter than saying, you know, my fists are registered and they're
it sounds great, but I'm not sure.
I don't think they send you an application and you have to, like, you know, measure your fists and be like, yeah. I mean, I think automatically you're allowed to say that.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Tommy Morrison gave him AIDS.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Brian.
That's a great story. I mean, it's like you talk about some celebrity had her legs
insured
for $1 million.
Lloyd's of London.
It's probably somewhere like that, having your fists registered. I don't know if it's a real thing, but anyway. All right, so I may like this guy if he can pad his resume a little bit.
I don't think he has literally anything else going for him. So there isn't any governing body or law that requires it.
Come on.
But the hands of a boxer could be considered a deadly weapon in a court of law. Okay, I guess not. Whatever. All right. So I think you guys, I'm sure, touched on this Casey White, Vicky White sort of like Smokey and the Bandit situation. Well, we have the wrap up following a 10-day manhunt. Escaped murderer suspect Casey White and a former corrections official, Vicky White, no relation, by the way.
She looks different now.
Wow.
Yeah, she
just
does.
Just White.
Were captured Monday in Indiana. Casey White, the dude, back in custody. Vicky has died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. The pair was spotted in Evansville, Indiana, more than 200 miles from where they first escaped in a Ford pickup with Casey White behind the wheel, Vicky in the passenger seat, and then they just crashed.
He's 6'9".
Yeah.
You can shave a beard, dye your hair, you know, pluck your eyebrows, but she looks like she's 5'0". So if you're a team and one of you is short and the other one's freakishly tall.
Bad casting.
Tough. Yeah, you're not going to hide from Johnny Law that long.
You'd think somebody that could be described as a cross between Adam Driver and John Hamm would be super hot.
Yeah.
But I'm not seeing it.
Well, he's had a lot of different looks. First of all, Adam, you're totally right. Whenever you audition in like for a TV or movie or something, they always be like, state your height.
Right.
Because they want to make sure that you're not too much taller than the hero.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. He should have found a taller woman to be with. Then he would have looked a little shorter next to her.
Right.
I have no idea if she's short. She just simply looks in her picture to not be
squatty.
Yes. Angular and long.
She'll be next.
But she also did it her day of retirement.
The day she was retiring. Yes, indeed.
It's like an Alanis Morissette song.
Isn't it ironic?
Isn't it moronic?
Moronic. So yes. Let me just give you the backstory. I'm not sure how much you got into, but CBS News reports that Vicky White told her colleagues that morning that she was taking Casey White to the courthouse for a mental health evaluation. Mm. But her patrol vehicle was found in the parking lot hours later. And by the way, there was no scheduled health evaluation, obviously.
And they only made it 200 miles from the car. That's not very far.
And I think they were like shacked up at a motel. You know, I don't think they were just on the run Thelma and Louise style. So yes, it was the day of her retirement. And apparently the pair had a, quote, special relationship, that they were in contact over the phone for months before Casey White's escape. And authorities said there's currently no evidence that they ever had a sexual or physical relationship, but he did refer to her as his wife.
Hmm.
I don't think this would have lasted even if they escaped the law.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No, it wouldn't.
I think he was using her.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That is so unromantic.
She was a lonely woman. Because she sold her house for cash.
She bought him clothes, like before, the day before.
Mm-hmm. She went to the big and tall place.
Right.
Why was she, in killing herself, I mean, if she had been involved in the murder of someone and then she would have been put away for life, then I understand killing yourself. But in this case, if they caught her, what would they give her, 5 years in prison? Six years, ten years?
She could have done first off, nowadays, you go back and, you know, her first husband was abusive. Sure. You know, she was physically abused. And this guy put a spell over her and controlled her. And she feared that he had people on the outside that would hurt her, hurt her family. There's a whole yarn we could spin here.
And you pretend like you don't watch Dateline.
She could be sympathetic and could do a minimal amount of time, I would think.
Yeah, she'd have to kill herself. Now, this guy, on the other hand, his name's Casey. As you said, 6'9". They said he was like part of a white supremacist, and he's just a bad dude.
Well, you got to race up in prison.
Well, I'm thinking to myself, Casey, like, isn't that also, it's a guy's name and a girl's name. I wonder how many idiots like teased him, like, ha ha, Casey, ha ha. And then he's like, look at that.
Oh boy, we're about the same cup size right now.
We're looking at a picture.
Did he lose weight really quickly? What is that?
He has a skinny face.
I don't know, but he stabbed someone and he was the one who should have killed himself because he's going back to prison forever.
Exactly.
And she, I think in a world where there's sympathy, we would have had some for her.
Yeah, absolutely. He does have a little SS lightning bolt situation on his little family crest.
Oh,
there.
Charger fan. All right. Yeah. I love this cat. Turn the corner on him.
Yeah, no, this is a bad, bad dude.
Yeah. Well, some bad, bad shit happened in Exuma, if I'm saying that right. I never get to go anywhere. This is one of those, beautiful sandals resort.
I thought that was a skin condition.
That's right.
I have that on my album. So three Americans vacationing at this 5-star oceanfront resort in the Bahamas died on Friday under mysterious circumstances, and a fourth remains hospitalized. This very unusual incident happened at Sandals Emerald Bay in Exuma is being investigated by a team of police, health and environment officials. So there's no signs of trauma, no foul play suspected. But CBS News reports that the couple who died showed signs of convulsions before they died. The woman was in the bed. The guy was like on the floor, slumped against the wall, and they both looked like they had some sort of seizure.
Wasn't there a whole thing 3 or 4 years ago about like bootleg booze?
Yes. Mm.
Maybe your dad smuggled in some bathtub gin.
Right? Yeah, that they were putting in the nice bottles.
Yeah, there was a whole, let's really, if you really think about it, you take, you know, your very expensive vodka or your very expensive scotch or whatever it is. Everyone says they can tell the difference. Right. Or I like the Johnny Walker Blue Label or whatever. Bullshit. Sure. Nobody can tell the difference.
Right in there.
Like, why wouldn't you have pop off or smearing off? And especially when you're making a cocktail at the bar, at the resort. Nobody's ever going to call you on that.
Yeah.
The markup is crazy. And these places are, you know, a little lawless. So why wouldn't that be the first order of business?
Absolutely.
And we do it out here too. I mean,
and the other thing,
I want to thank you guys
because first of all, I found out Twitter has pornography, but secondly, I just found out that Sandals is a 5-star resort. I never knew Sandals. They have billboards. 5-star resorts.
Maybe out of 7.
Oh, okay, that makes okay. That makes 5 out of 10.
Like
okay,
so.
Okay, 5 out of 10. Come here, you might die. You might. We have 5 stars.
I mean, this is great. Great.
Let
business
me say one thing I do appreciate about sandals and their commercials. Mm. In a world where every soap and every hair conditioner and every perfume and every bra company is basically hiring Lizzo's sister to be the new look, the sure. plus size yeah. chick, doing
big
it for
and beautiful.
Themselves, all yeah. the different shapes. And yeah. Not sandals.
Keeping it real.
Fucking hotties.
Everyone's
smoking
chiseled.
Hot hotties. Not a fat ass. I've seen 2,000 commercials, all tens, all wearing two-piecers.
They're wearing a sarong, the lights pass yeah. through. Are they wearing a bikini? Who knows?
And they know their place because they're loving up on their man the yeah. whole time. The yeah. guy's like sitting in the hot tub and their hands stroking through his hair.
That's right.
They're toys. They're getting an oyster.
Bubbles overflow.
Yes,
the bath.
Yes. There's not anything below 8.5.
Oh, no. Ever. Yeah. It's all thigh gap.
They don't even do like the elderly black couple
or something
that pops up in every. No.
Yeah.
Hot.
Yeah.
It's all smoking. Fucking hot.
You want to exercise? Try lifting this 12-ounce can.
Come here, good looking. You might die, but you'll be dead and good looking.
That's right.
It's all they have
and
is hotties.
I used to hate on like the idea of an all-inclusive resort.
I wonder if that's their international thing. Like everyone else, like I said, whatever product you make for a woman, somebody got hold of you and went, we need representation.
Right.
There's women of all sizes. We can no longer continue
right.
with this
yeah.
thing. They must be in some
international waters.
Yeah, some place we don't have an extradition policy yeah. with or something. Yeah. Oh, fuck you. We're yeah. doing hot chicks. Yeah.
Montenegro.
And good looking.
Yeah.
Speaking of Negro,
that's
there's
right.
not a whole lot of rep.
That's right.
They, it's just good looking dudes.
Yeah.
Good-looking chicks walk on that beach.
No, you're right.
It's every commercial.
You're absolutely right.
And for me, it's actually intimidating because I look at the commercial and it's amazing because they have the huts overlooking the water with
yeah.
the glass
the
atoles, floor and everything.
Yeah.
But I've seen me in my underwear.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to fit in.
Yeah.
Into that group.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's a little intimidating if that is a representation of their clientele.
It's a very Putin Russian kind of, you're right, the mentality, like, welcome to sandals where all the men are hot and women are even hotter.
Yes.
Fake boobs, we like you. Be white.
Sandals from? Do we know where that company is?
Sandals. Well, as we say in Russian,
Sandalotsk. Let me put your mind at ease, Adam. They did interview a lot of people that were staying at Sandals. You'd be okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, about the murder.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
the truth.
You'll fit in famously. You'll be fine.
Yeah, well, you go on there. Yeah, exactly. Go on. What you got to do is you got to go hashtag sandals and go on Instagram and see the people that are posting live from sandals.
That's
and be like,
right.
Oh, they're like me.
It's Florida
right.
trash.
Yeah.
Just Tampa trash.
They're in Jamaica. Well, then I wonder if we could sue sandals because according to their, I was planning on doing a little hut hopping.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you guys seem like you're, you know, open-minded as a couple.
Right. Yeah.
That maybe I just bring my gal pal and we just stop by and have a cocktail
hot
or what
swap.
Have you. Spend a little time in the hot tub. But now I've seen what you really brought.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm discouraged.
It's false advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, one more.
Well, now we have to do this because we're talking about chicks and their swimsuits. Sports Illustrated, the swimsuit edition, it's about to hit the stands
right.
on May 19th. Everybody excited? Everybody
hot,
ready?
Skinny chicks.
Yeah.
Well, they are trim, muscular, award-winning. It'll feature 5 of the WNBA's biggest stars. And we have a picture. We have Sue Bird. We have Taya Cooper, Breonna Stewart, and, you know, nice-looking ladies. They are committed leaders to social issues, advocating for human rights and mental health.
Mental health.
They're bearing the lead. The one sitting down is hot. They got to have her stand up.
That's right.
You know what the problem is? That to see it, you got to go pay $5 and buy Sports Illustrated to see, you know, these women in their bathing suits, but you could just go on Twitter for free
watch porn
and see the whole. That's the problem.
That's Moz is a one track mind in this news section.
They can't compete with it one click away for free. How is that gonna?
No, you're right.
I thought it was going to be a whole bunch of trannies up there. I didn't know it was this, but anyway, all right, good. Blah. That's just fine. Look. Are the sandals resort commercials broken? That's what I would say to Sports Illustrated. I
look
forward to those.
Let's all take a page from the sandals commercial.
Most people fast through commercials. I will actually go back and rewatch some of the sandals ads. So
that's what I was thinking. I used to make fun of all that shit and like, that's lame and it's all inclusive. Now I'm just like, yes, you don't have to bring money. They bring you drinks. Yeah. That sounds great. Yeah. Oh, do we have the commercial?
We have a sandals.
Sandals Barbados.
Have you ever seen the emerald waters of Barbados? Or seen a butler walk on water to please you?
Oh my God, Jesus Christ!
Stayed in the world's most romantic suites.
The butler didn't have socks, just like me and my special.
Restaurants in one resort. Have you ever imagined such five-star luxury is all-inclusive?
Go back to St. Petersburg.
Where exclusive is always inclusive.
Oh, diverse hot.
1-800-7
Everyone's hot. It's almost Indian casino commercial.
Yes,
hot.
It is.
Great hot.
Yes. That's another clientele.
Sovereign territory. Like, you get all the fucking fat squaws the fuck out of here. Yeah. We're going with the hot.
They got to end that now with a little don't drink from the minibar.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Na 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 na.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, last but not least, there's JB Weld, World's Strongest Bond, the brands DIYers and pros have trusted for over 50 years. You can use their epoxies, their super glues, putty sticks, wraps for projects big and small, and do it on practically any surface, metal, wood, plastics, glass, ceramics, whatever you need to repair, there's a product that JB Weld makes that will fit perfectly. Keep it in the kitchen drawer, your toolbox. I have it in the garage. I keep it in the kitchen drawer as well. Also, the proud owner of Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. If you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, Herculiner, well, they got you covered. So where do you get JB Weld? Well, it's available at jbweld.com. Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Amazon, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly. And, of course, it's proudly made in the U.S. of A. All right. I want to thank Dave Stewart for joining us. New album released. It is coming out May 20th. It's called Ebony McQueen. Maz Jobrani, of course, Sea Legs. We're going to be playing there the week after. In Huntington Beach, Axis of Evil reunion show. That'll be May 13th. And he's got stand-up shows all over the place. So I think you should go to his Twitter, watch a little free porn.
And then go.
And then Instagram.
It's all at Maz Jobrani.
Well, there.
All at Maz Jobrani. Yeah. And until next time, Sam Carolla for Maz Jobrani and Dave Stewart, Gina Grad, and Paul Ryan. Say it. Mahalo.
If I die under mysterious circumstances, it's been nice knowing ya.
You can watch this episode of The Adam Carolla Show at youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see The Ace Man. Get them now at adamcarolla.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.